Scotland lost 20-0 yesterday.
Well, what can I say? You may notice I've chosen a particular t-shirt this morning, and it's not my Born in Scotland t-shirt.
Anyway, before we move on, anyone a dream interpreter in the church at all? Anyone can interpret dreams? Because something odd happened last night. Me and Heather, my wife, had the same dream. We both dreamed that we crashed the car. Only in her dream it was me that was driving, and in my dream it was her that was driving. So I maintain it was her fault. Maybe we should interpret that dream, perhaps, just in case. Right, okay, so just before I start, you may be wondering why I have these three boxes before us. Has anyone seen the show Deal or No Deal? Yeah, it's a popular lunchtime programme. At university, me and my flatmates would watch it while eating our lunch in front of the TV, shouting, "Take the money! Take the money!" Now, for those of you who haven't seen Deal or No Deal, it's a pretty simple show. The contestant stands with a closed box in front of them, and in front of them there's over 20 other boxes, each manned by another person. And each of these boxes have numbers on them, and the contestant must choose a box to be opened, and when it's opened, an amount of money is revealed, whether it is £10,000 or £30,000 or even £250,000. That amount of money is then removed from the game. So the aim of the game is for the contestant to pick the box with the smallest amount of money to give them a better chance of winning the higher amount. So we're going to play a pretty simplified version of Deal or No Deal this morning. Deal or No Deal, RLBC. I think I'm a younger, more dashing version of Noel Edmonds. Right, so we're going to play a simpler version. I'm going to offer you the opportunity to open one of these boxes and to find out what's within them, to see if you can win what's within them. So I'm going to first ask you, which box do you want to choose? Number one, number two, or box number three? What do you think?
Number 3.
Any other? Number 3? Quite keen on number 3. Okay, we're going to have a look what's in box number 3. This is box number 3 here. What do you think it is? High or low? Okay. £100! £100! Pretty good. Pretty good. £100 is quite a lot of money, isn't it? It's quite good. Of course, I guess if you did take this amount, it's up to you whether you accept the offer or not. If you did take this amount, you'd probably have to share it out between you. So that's probably about £1.20 each, something like that. Or perhaps one of you, if you're really quick, could grab the money and run. Make a runner for it. So what do you think? Would you like to take this offer, or do you want to see if you can look for a better offer in some of the other boxes? So deal or no deal?
No deal.
No deal? Okay. Well, good. I think that was probably the right decision, but I'm sure some of you were probably tempted to take the money. In the parable, in the story that Karen just told us, that's exactly what the younger brother did. You see, he knew that his father had this bundle of money to give him when he died. However, the younger son wasn't willing to wait until his father died. He wanted the money now. He wished his father was dead now. Instead of waiting for him to die, the son took the money and he ran. He ran off to a faraway country to live the dream. Now, you guys know what the dream is, right? We all dream the dream. The dream of winning a large sum of money and going off to a faraway country to take a long, well-deserved holiday in the sun, to spending it on a dream yacht, the dream toys, the dream gadgets, the dream clothes, the dream car, the dream designer house, perhaps starting the dream business, sharing it all with the dream man or woman. So we all dream the dream. So fair play to the younger son. He didn't just dream the dream, he lived the dream, and he did everything he had dreamed about. So we expect to find him lying on a sunbed, somewhere warm and peaceful, satisfied with the life that he's made for himself. But that's not really what we find, is it? We find, instead, we find him desperate and miserable. It tells us, after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. He had discovered that the dream isn't the reality. Now, Christians, we often have long rants about maybe money or possessions or luxurious living, suggesting there's nothing attractive about these things. But deep down, we all crave them to some extent, don't we? We desire them because they are attractive. Sin wouldn't be hard to resist if it wasn't attractive. And this parable doesn't hide the fact that these things, money, possessions, luxurious living, that these things aren't attractive. But instead, it tells us that if we expect them to fulfill us, to satisfy what we're longing for, then we're dreaming. We're dreaming. The reality is the rich, the famous, those who live in luxury, often are desperate and miserable. Their lives aren't any easier. Their friends aren't any better. Their security isn't any greater because they long for something that not even all their money can buy them. So offer number one, £100, might look good, but if you take the money and run like the younger son, you'll end up like him, desperate and miserable. You guys have made the smart choice, you've decided to look for a better offer, so which box do you want next? Number one or two? Number one or two? Number one, here's the one. I'm hearing ones, let's go for number one. Right, box number one, what are we going to get this time? Box number one. Well, I have to say, it's not actually a sum of money at all. It appears to be a letter from Sir Alan Sugar. And he's actually offering you a job. And it says, if you accept this job, you will be his apprentice and you will earn what you deserve. Well, I wonder how much that is. £100,000 a year? Well, I guess it depends how hard you work. But it does seem like a pretty good offer, doesn't it? Earn what you deserve. I'm certainly tempted. Karen, how long's my notice? 2 weeks?
No, I think it's 18 months.
18 months. Oh, well, I have to think about that one. Anyway, what do you think? Do you accept an offer of a job from Sir Alan Sugar to get what you deserve? Or do you want to go looking for a better offer? Deal or no deal? No deal? Not even Alan Sugar? No deal, okay. Tough decision, but I'm sure that was the right one. Now, the older son in that parable, that story we read, he would have jumped at an offer like that, for a job offer from Alan Sugar, because he was the kind of person he thought he should earn what he deserved. And he deserved a lot. He says to his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you, and I've never disobeyed you." In comparison to his younger brother, he is the good son. He's the hard-working son. He's the one who never left his father. He's worked patiently for him all the time, thinking, perhaps if I serve him hard enough, he will reward me. And maybe sometimes you begin to think about that when it comes to serving God. Perhaps you'd started off with the right intentions, full of gratitude, of love towards God, determined to live your life for Jesus in all areas of your life. You eagerly jump at opportunities to serve the church, whether it be operating the sound system, or cooking in the kitchen, or helping out with the youth and children's work. You become known as someone who's willing, and so people ask and expect even more of you. But as the years pass, your initial enthusiasm and desire fade. You're wondering, what do you get for all this service? The new job you prayed for never materialized. Your children seem to be moving further from God, not closer. Money is tight, as well as your time. You're beginning to wonder, why do you say yes to all these opportunities in the first place? You can vaguely remember that when you first started serving, you loved Jesus much more. And you loved serving him much more also. These days, it's the drive home from church you look forward to most, when the burden of service is lifted and you have the rest of the day to look forward to. So what started out as serving from gratitude and love for God has ended up being serving out of duty, maybe out of expectancy of reward, just like the older son. I've served him enough, hard enough, so he should reward me. As good as your intentions were at the beginning, the results aren't what you hoped for. That's because at the beginning, we got it all wrong, thinking that we are servants of God. Jesus told us, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many." Christians aren't servants. We're the ones who are being served. Jesus serves us. Think about it. He healed the sick. He drove out the demons. He preached the good news. He fed the 5,000. He washed the disciples' feet. He died on the cross, taking on our sins on his shoulder, giving his life as the ransom for many. And now he stands at the right hand of God, interceding for us. God doesn't want servants who will serve him out of duty, expecting to be rewarded, or for any other reason. He wants sons and daughters who love him and obey him out of love. And we see this in the parable. The younger son decides he'd be better off if he went back to his father and asked him for a job. And you're either expecting his father to kick him out the door, or perhaps he's going to really graciously give him the worst job he can find, cleaning out the cow shed. But in fact, what happens? The father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." The father is delighted to see his son return to him. He decks him out in the best clothes. He gives him expensive jewellery. He throws a party for him. The son comes looking to serve the father, and he ends up being served. He comes expecting to be treated like a servant, and he ends up being loved as a son. Now let's just take a moment to reflect on that. Perhaps you're someone who, maybe like the older son, has been slogging away serving God, and you're beginning to think you're due some kind of reward. Have you forgotten that God serves you? Have you forgotten that God wants sons and daughters rather than servants? Or perhaps you're like the younger son. Your guilt for past sin has driven you to serving God in the hope of being forgiven, in the hope of earning his forgiveness. Just take a moment to remember God's overwhelming love for you and accept that you don't need to earn what you deserve, because he gives you what you don't deserve. Now, as we reflect on this, the band are going to lead us in a couple of songs, and maybe, or just one song actually. Maybe you feel you want to sit down. Maybe you want to be quiet. Maybe you just want to reflect on what's been said so far. But as the band lead us, you can stand or sit. You're free to sing as you like. We're going to sing the song "Amazing Love the Father Has Shown Us." Two offers so far. We had the £100. You had the chance to take the money and run. We rejected that offer. Then we had the job offer from Alan Sugar to earn what you deserved. So what do you think will be in the third box? Shall we open it and see? Let's have a look. Box number two. Box number two. Right. Well, again, I have to say I'm a bit disappointed. It's not actually money. Instead, it's an invitation to a party. Yeah, we're here for bar noises. Great. So, it doesn't say whose party it is, but it does claim to be the greatest party ever. Now, in the parable, we came to the point where the father was so delighted that his son had returned to him that he threw him the greatest, the biggest, the most incredible party. And it actually says at the end of verse 24, it says it must be some party, because it says they began to celebrate. It doesn't tell us when they stopped celebrating, just began. And this party in the parable, it represents God's offer to us. Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, God can offer us the opportunity to celebrate with him forever. And that celebration begins when you say to God, like the younger son, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." At that moment, when you say that to God, at that moment your life changes forever. Because now you live celebrating with God. And what a celebration it is. So we have three offers in front of us. Firstly, like the younger son, you can take the money and run. Chase your dreams, but be aware that your dreams often aren't the reality. Offer number two, earn what you deserve. But what do we deserve from God? Do we deserve anything at all? Or offer number three, accept the invitation to celebrate with God forever. Now I'm going to leave it there as you kind of think about those three offers. Which one would you want to accept? We're going to hear from someone. Karen's going to speak to someone about what offer they accepted. So Karen. Thank you.